"I could use another wizard," said the first voice softly. "That is true."
"My lord, it makes sense," said Wormtail, sounding thoroughly relieved now. "Laying hands on Harry Potter would be so difficult. He is so well protected."
"And so you volunteer to go and fetch me a substitute. I wonder, perhaps the task of nursing me has become wearisome for you, Wormtail. Could this suggestion of abandoning the plan be nothing more than an attempt to desert me?"
"My lord, I have no wish to leave you, none at all."
"Do not lie to me," hissed the second voice. "I can always tell, Wormtail. You are regretting that you ever returned to me. I revolt you. I see you flinch when you look at me, feel you shudder when you touch me."
"No, my devotion to your lordship."
"Your devotion is nothing more than cowardice. You would not be here if you had anywhere else to go. How am I to survive without you, when I need feeding every few hours? Who is to milk Nagini?"
"But you seem so much stronger, my lord."
"Liar," breathed the second voice. "I am no stronger, and a few days alone would be enough to rob me of the little health I have regained under your clumsy care. Silence!"
Wormtail, who had been spluttering incoherently, fell silent at once. For a few seconds Frank could hear nothing but the fire crackling. Then the second man spoke once more, in a whisper that was almost a hiss.
"I have my reasons for using the boy, as I have already explained to you, and I will use no other. I have waited 13 years. A few more months will make no difference. As for the protection surrounding the boy, I believe my plan will be effective. All that is needed is a little courage from you, Wormtail. Courage you will find, unless you wish to feel the full extent of Lord Voldemort's wrath."
"My lord, I must speak," said Wormtail, panic in his voice now. "All through our journey I have gone over the plan in my head. My lord, Bertha Jorkins's disappearance will not go unnoticed for long, and if we proceed, if I curse—"
"If," whispered the first voice. If you follow the plan, Wormtail, the Ministry need never know that anyone else has disappeared. You will do it quietly and without fuss. I only wish that I could do it myself, but in my present condition—" "Come, Wormtail, one more obstacle removed, and our path to Harry Potter is clear. I am not asking you to do it alone. By that time my faithful servant will have rejoined us."
"I am a faithful servant," said Wormtail, the merest trace of sullenness in his voice.
"Wormtail, I need somebody with brains, somebody whose loyalty has never wavered, and you, unfortunately, fulfil neither requirement."
"I found you," said Wormtail,
and there was definitely a sulky edge to his voice now.
"I was the one who found you. I brought you Bertha Jorkins."
"That is true," said the second man, sounding amused. "A stroke of brilliance I would not have thought possible from you, Wormtail, though, if truth be told, you were not aware how useful she would be when you caught her, were you?"
I thought she might be useful, my lord."
"Liar,"
said the first voice again, the cruel amusement more pronounced than ever. "However, I do not deny that her information was invaluable. Without it, I could never have formed our plan, and for that you will have your reward, Wormtail. I will allow you to perform an essential task for me, one that many of my followers would give their right hands to perform."
Really, my lord? What?"
Wormtail sounded terrified again.
"Ah, Wormtail, you don't want me to spoil the surprise. Your part will come at the very end, but I promise you, you will have the honour of being just as useful as Bertha Jorkins."
You...
Wormtail's voice sounded suddenly hoarse, as though his mouth had gone very dry.
"You are going to kill me, too?"
"Wormtail, Wormtail," said the cold voice silkily, "why would I kill you? I killed Bertha because I had to. She was fit for nothing after my questioning, quite useless. In any case, awkward questions would have been asked if she had gone back to the ministry with the news that she had met you on her holidays. Wizards who are supposed to be dead would do well not to run into Ministry of Magic witches at wayside inns." Wormtail muttered something so quietly that Frank could not hear it, but it made the second man laugh, an entirely mirthless laugh, cold as his speech.
"We could have modified her memory. But memory charms can be broken by a powerful wizard, as I proved when I questioned her. It would be an insult to her memory not to use the information I extracted from her, Wormtail."
Out in the corridor, Frank suddenly became aware that the hand gripping his walking stick was slippery with sweat. The man with the cold voice had killed a woman. He was talking about it without any kind of remorse, with amusement. He was dangerous, a madman, and he was planning more murders. This boy, Harry Potter, whoever he was in danger. Frank knew what he must do. Now, if ever, was the time to go to the police. He would creep out of the house and head straight for the telephone box in the village. But the cold voice was speaking again, and Frank remained where he was, frozen to the spot, listening with all his might. "One more curse. My faithful servant at Hogwarts. Harry Potter is as good as mine, Wormtail. It is decided. There will be no more argument. But quiet. I think I hear Nagini." And the second man's voice changed. He started making noises such as Frank had never heard before. He was hissing and spitting without drawing breath. Frank thought he must be having some sort of fit or seizure.